Wake up weekday mornings from 5 to 9. LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 1039 LI News Radio.
And we are back at 7:10. It's now time for our Spotlight segment on Long Island. Lots of water issues these days right here on the island. Here to talk about no better person, the expert himself, defend H2O's Kevin McAllister. Always a pleasure. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, septic systems, lots going on in this category. Listen, we know about the approval of a grant program to help homeowners pay for these high-tech type deals. But all in all, I don't know if it'll solve the problem regarding nitrogen pollution for those who already have systems in place. That's still a big category here.
Yes, it is. There's the county estimates about 360,000 of septic cesspools within the county. So this will be a long-term fix, quite frankly.
And when you think about it, you know, you're looking at state money. Who knows? Listen, we know, Kevin, here on the island, we have an aging infrastructure all the way around. You could point to the Long Island Railroad. You can point to our electrical system, PSEG. Nobody knew, though, how bad these systems were septic-wise.
Oh, it's a very big problem. We've seen the bays explode in algal blooms over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a seasonal reoccurrence. It's a real problem, and, you know, all roads lead to our wastewater. This is a good positive step by Suffolk County to provide, you know, a grant program to offset the costs for these upgrades. And we really have to start moving into a mandatory upgrade over time.
No question about it. What about long-term here regarding some of the key health officials? Listen, they expect owners to incur some fees here annually, but I guess it depends on which approved systems that they can actually use. It gets a little bit complicated in this end, correct?
They've identified and approved 4 systems that are meeting their standard. So they're striving for a minimum of 50% removal of the nitrogen. I do know there's several more systems that are, knocking at the door that, you know, we expect to be approved very, very soon. So they, you know, there will be diversity in the systems. I think a competitive marketplace, which is good for the consumer, and they achieve denitrification, and that's what we need to strive for.
That is key here. Listen, you've been very outspoken regarding some of the marshes and the spraying going on here. You had written a letter, I was reading to legislators, urging the county to restrict the use. Kevin, you can explain methoprene, which is a larvicide. It's utilized by the Division of Vector Control, and it's all part of its spraying work for this season here. That is very troubling to read this type of stuff. And, you know, listen, anything you put in the air, I think, is going to poison the waters, correct? The only problem is, you know, people are saying now we have a major tick infestation coming out. We also have the fear of West Nile and everything else. So everything outdoors, it seems, is a detriment to society. How do you combat it?
Well, with respect to methoprene, this is a larvicide that's broadcast sprayed by helicopter, generally from May through September, every couple of weeks over, 20,000 acres of Suffolk County's wetlands. This really impacts the larval stages of crustaceans. The state of Connecticut in 2013 banned this product. They restrict it in all coastal areas because of its impacts to aquatic life. The disease, West Nile, as you describe, is not in the larval stage mosquito. So we're not suppressing disease at that level. This is an insidious poison, as I describe, that really needs to stop. And, you know, while these other jurisdictions have recognized it and banned its use, you know, Suffolk County continues to move along. And I think it's a bit disingenuous when, you know, we're trying to combat nitrogen pollution, and meanwhile, you know, pesticide applications in water bodies is okay.
No question. And, of course, you're talking about methoprene. Kevin, is there Is there any type of spray out there by, via helicopter use that
yeah,
would be as
a biological agent called BTI, and this is again a larvicide, so they are knocking back the mosquito numbers. This is benign in the aquatic environment, but you know the county will suggest that it's not good enough. Well, you know, to select the poison off the shelf, you know, that's unacceptable. And we've got enough insults to our water bodies. You know, we've seen the fisheries decline. Just there's impaired waters everywhere. And again, this is one insult that, you know, we can correct really with the stroke of a pen or the legislative action, but they refuse to do it. And it begs a question, why? You know, who's involved? What contracts are involved? You know, why do we continue this when, again, the state of Connecticut's banned it, and one of their leading senators has asked Governor Cuomo to ban it statewide?
That's a good point. You have to wonder why certainly New York does not follow any particular methodology in this, are you thinking?
I don't know. I haven't delved into, you know, that trail, but you know, I suspect it exists, and that's unfortunate because, again, you know, if we're going to say that we need to restore our waters, reclaim our waters, and then, you know, everything should be on the table. And, you know, can't turn a blind eye to a poison application every 2 weeks and 17,000 acres of marsh and then wonder where the aquatic life is.
Talking with Kevin McAllister, Defend H2O in the spotlight. I heard a couple of comments from a professor out of Stony Brook, Kevin, regarding carbon dioxide emissions. If they continue to increase, according to him, sea levels could rise more than 6 feet on the island. Of course, we all await the president's comments this afternoon, leaning, by the way, toward pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, signed by 200 countries or so, all in the effort to curtail these carbon dioxide emissions here. Are you somewhat in agreement with this leading professor here? What's your feeling?
Oh, absolutely. But the state of New York, they have adopted sea level rise projections, and it's concerning. This is imminent. Anyone that has spent time in the water, with a prism of time over 20, 30 years, you see it happening. You know, these low-lying areas on the South Shore and, you know, other communities are already being affected by coastal inundation, you know, where groundwater is perched up, you know, at the ground level. You know, our septic systems are in water, chronic flooding. You know, we have to start to act on this. Enough delay. And, you know, this is unfortunate the president's considering pulling out of this accord because I think, you know, really we have to fully commit to reduction of, you know, carbon emissions, you know, to slow the pace of sea level rise. But putting that aside, we've got to act no matter what, because it is real, you know, between Stony Brook and other institutions, you know, we're identifying the problems throughout the island. And, you know, I think, enough on delay, we have to start to really move on this.
No question about it. And of course, with this whole accord guide, each nation did submit some goals and after curbing the heat trapping emissions. And, you know, you're talking about pledges adding up to about 117 billion tons, Kevin, I was reading, of carbon dioxide by the year 2030, and that is a scary statistic.
Absolutely, and again, as I described, you know, when you consider coastal inundation where seawater's wedging into subterranean, lifting up groundwater, you know, a good example, Mastic Beach community, you know, chronic flooding, you know, our septic systems are in groundwater. You talk about mosquito populations, you know, when you have wastewater, you know, close to the surface like that, you know, that's problematic. These areas, really, we have to have some hard decisions to start to implement coastal retreat in some of these zones. And, you know, that's a classic example. And, you know, I watched the Army Corps come in with their Fire Island to Montauk plan, suggest that we're going to build a dike around, you know, Mastic Beach and raise some houses. That's silly. That's absolute folly. And, I'm pleased that they're getting it. Now they realize, you know, we've got to start to withdraw from, you know, the immediate coastline there.
No question. Lastly, I've heard a lot of talk, Kevin McAllister regarding 1-4 dioxane and, of course, lots of dollars in the new state budget as far as just water quality is concerned here. The big question, you know, just how many dollars do you think will trickle down to for the treatment of this stuff and chemicals like it? And do you think maybe more needs to be applied for it as far as dollars?
Well, I think the governor and the state are ready to step up, you know, for financial support. You know, absolutely needed. We've all heard the term sole source aquifer. You know, Long Island is a big sandbar. That's our drinking water below us. And, you know, over the decades of, releases of these pollutants, you know, we've got plumes everywhere. You've read about them. You hear about them. And, you know, we've got to start to clean them up, identify other plumes that, you know, right now are not at the forefront. It's a massive problem. But again, between the nitrogen and toxins, you know, this is a real threat to our, longevity on the island, you know, with sustainability and the availability of clean drinking water.
No question. Hopefully conversations like we have had here certainly will shed more light on a very important category. Kevin, always a pleasure. Kevin McAllister in the spotlight. Defend H2O, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jay. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
You too.